It's a special moment for me. It really is. This is a high honor and a special moment. I have been wanting to come up here to see you very badly. And it's an honor to stand in the pulpit of a man who was so faithful to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, I'm a result of it. I remember riding in the car with Brother Don at 7 years old, and he tells the story of everything I had to say, you know. But when my time on this earth is done, when the Lord is pleased to reward me, I sincerely pray that it might be said that the Lord kept me preaching the gospel. All the way to the end, and kept me believing the gospel, kept me hearing the gospel. You know, who are we? Who are we? We're all sinners saved by grace, and it's just such an honor, just such an honor. I feel I'm here not so much to be a blessing to you, but because you're a blessing to me. You're an inspiration to me, and I look up to you. So anyway, I pray the Lord will bless us. I pray He will meet with us this morning. I pray that we might truly bow to Him and just gather around Him, worship Him together. I bring greetings from almost everybody in Kingsport. Everybody said to tell you hello. And I want to especially say thank you for your support of our building, the support that you have given us and all of your interest in our building. We're so grateful for that building. We were working there yesterday. We've been working on Saturdays, and I was just walking through it so excited, thinking the Lord has just given us something so wonderful, and it's a lot of work, but I'm so thankful for it, and I pray the gospel will come forth from that building like it has from this building, and I pray He'll call sheep from it and be with us and help us. But we're moving forward, and I hope every time I give a time that we'll be in it, it gets pushed back 3 or 4 months, but my current hope is spring sometime. We'll see. But anyway, thank you. After I became pastor in Kingsport, the first time that Brother Don called me and asked me to come up here and fill in for him, I brought a message to you from John chapter 10. And I would like to bring a message to you this morning, again, from John chapter 10. This chapter speaks to my heart. These verses speak to my heart, and that's what I want to do today. I want to speak to our hearts. I want to speak to your heart. The commandment to a true God-called preacher is, comfort ye my people. That's the commandment. Saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, to the heart. That's what the word comfortably means, to the heart. And this chapter speaks to my heart. It speaks to my heart. I pray this will speak to our heart. I want to begin with verse 27. Let's begin reading in verse 27. And I just want us to enjoy these verses together. Our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Isn't there something so sweet and just so calming and so peaceful about the matter-of-fact relationship between our Lord and His people? Don't you love how matter-of-fact it is? Just hearing, as I was just reading that now, I've read that so many times in the last few days, but just reading it again right now to hear what He has to say about us, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful. It is so peaceful. It is so calming. When He says, when we hear Him say, "This is who I am, and this is who they are, and this is what I'm going to do for them, and this is the result that it'll bring for them, and nobody can do anything to change it. Nobody can do anything to stop it. It is set in stone. I have all power over it. I have all say in the matter. I have ordered it. I have secured it. It is finished. It is forever settled in heaven." When you hear that, doesn't that bring a relaxing smile to your heart? If it does, it'll work its way all the way up to the face. When you hear Him say, "They shall never perish." That's exciting. That's exciting. When you hear Him say, "No man can pluck them out of my hand." Doesn't that bring peace to you? Doesn't it bring so much peace to you? Look at John 11, the next chapter over, verse 26. John 11, verse 26. He said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Do you believe that? You believe that? I do. I tell you, somebody else who believes that right now. Your dear pastor. Our dear friend. Never. Back in John 10, our Lord called His people His sheep. The sheep of the shepherd. That's the title of this message. The sheep of the shepherd. He said, "They belong to me. They're mine." And He said, "They know me. They know me. I know them, and they know me." And He said, "This is how you can tell who they are. This is how you can tell that they know me." Verse 27, He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. He said, that's how you can tell who my sheep are. They love and they live to hear my voice. In my word, and they follow me. And that's the truth. We love and we live to hear His voice. Honestly, is there anything better in life of everything that this earth has to offer us? Is there anything better than those brief moments where the Spirit of the Holy God speaks to your heart? And you know Him because He has gotten your attention. And you want to follow Him. He said, they know my voice. They know my voice. Somebody asked a dear preacher one time, does he speak out loud? And he said, no, it's much louder than that. They know my voice. They know when it's not my voice. They most definitely know when it's not my voice. If you look at verse 1, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. Is there another way? There's one way. There's one truth. There's one life. Another way is no way at all. There's one way. The door. And we're about to find out who the door is. But he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And I know your pastor has told you so many times that the porter was the one who kept all the shepherd's sheep so they could go sleep at night, and they would drop them off, and the porter would keep the door, and then the next morning each shepherd would come and call for his sheep, and only his sheep would come, and he leads them out. That's what our Lord is telling us. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, the only reason God's sheep won't follow a stranger is because he will keep them from it. And aren't you so glad for that? Prone to wander, Lord, we feel it, like a sheep. But he said they're not going to do it. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I'm the shepherd, I'm the door. He made himself to be the sheep, didn't he? Christ is all. He said in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Our Lord is so good. Our Lord is so good. He said, I came that they might have life. If we have Christ, we have everything. We have everything. And he said, I came to give them life. And not to just give them life, but to give them more abundant life. That more abundant life cannot be described. It cannot be described. The reason that it cannot be described is because it is the very life of Christ Himself. All we know is the life of a sinner. That's all we know. In this flesh, we only know the life of sinful. We know a sinful life full of sin and full of heartache and full of sorrow. That's what we know right now. But this life more abundant is the very life of Christ Himself. In verse 11, when He said, I am the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. He gave His life for His sheep, And he did that by giving his life to his sheep. You think about substitution. Just enter in for a moment to substitution and what that means. That means he took my life, this life, and gave me his life, that life. And that's the one I get, and this is the one he got. And then we both went and met God. He gave his life for his sheep by giving his life to his sheep. Taking their life upon himself. Now you talk about life more abundant. You talk about life. You think about our life on this earth and his life in glory. And you want to try to enter into life more abundant? Now this is a trivial, silly illustration. But just think about this physically. Think about this physically. This doesn't even come close to describing it. This is just so beneath what it truly is. What if an actual shepherd, there are still men to this day who are shepherds. What if an actual shepherd could trade lives with one of his sheep? What if he could? Can we enter into the condescension that would be for a man, even a mortal man, with this mind and all of his abilities? What a condescension that would be for him to leave his place in life, to take the life of a sheep and everything that a sheep's life is confined to. And can we enter into what a life of more abundance it would be for a sheep to leave his place in existence to take the life of a man? That sheep's mouth, if that happened, that sheep's mouth. All right, now you think about the face of a sheep, the mouth of a sheep, that sheep's mouth would be able to say things that are not possible for a sheep's mouth to utter. Sheep's mouth can't do this. It can't do what we're doing. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I've been there. He said, I was caught up into the third heaven. He said, oh, the things I heard. He said, let's not go into what I saw. Just in the things I heard, he said, I'm telling you, it's not possible for the jawbones of a man to utter the things that I heard. It is more abundant. You talk about words. You want to enter into words. You want to enter into life. Oh, it's so much more glorious. So much more glorious. That sheep would be able to know things, know as he has been known. That sheep would experience knowledge. That sheep would experience wisdom. That sheep would have an intellect. That sheep would eat something other than grass. That sheep would sleep in a warm bed at night as opposed to the mud or the hard ground. As drastic as that change would be, that doesn't even come close to entering in to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has given to His people. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hath not seen." What all has your eye seen? What all have you seen? Even if you hadn't been there, you've seen pictures. What all have you seen? "Eye hath not seen. Ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man," the imagination. What have you imagined? Every person here has imagined heaven. Every person here has imagined what it's going to be like the first time you actually see Jesus Christ. Christ. It's never even entered into the heart of man. The amazing thing is, in order for Christ to give His life for us, He gave His life to us. He gave His life to us. He did that so that He could make that payment. Take ours, make a payment. He made it with His own blood. He made Himself to be a sheep. The shepherd made Himself to be the sheep. And He did that so we could receive eternal life. That eternal life He mentioned in verse 28. Never perish. He said they're never going to perish. How is that possible? He perished for us. He died for us. That great shepherd of the sheep. He said of Himself, He said, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly. He said, I'm the good shepherd. What does every child of God say? He's the great shepherd. Verse 11, He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Specifically for my sheep, He said. Christ did not die for the world, did He? Who He calls the goats. He died for His sheep. He died for His sheep. He loved His own. I love that verse, John 13, I believe it is. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. He loved His sheep. He died for His sheep. And He said in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him. And think about that day. You talk about what a glorious day that'll be. It'd be okay with us if it was today. You think about that moment. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him. You know, there's going to be a number of sheep there that no man can number. But He also said there's a number of angels no man can number. An innumerable company of angels. That's how He's coming back. He said, then and that day, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And if Solomon was glorious to the Queen of Sheba, just wait till you see God on the throne. And He said, before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And to the goats He's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. But to the sheep He's going to say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You talk about a blessed people. You talk about amazing grace. He said, you come and inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. All the way from the foundation of the world. What makes that difference? What makes the difference? What spares the sheep from receiving the same destruction that the goats do? What makes the difference? The end of verse 15, He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. All the sheep endure the same destruction in Him. He endured the destruction. He said, I gave myself their destruction. And they're not going to bear it. I bore it for them. Verse 15, he said, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." He said, "I have sheep out of every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue on this earth." And he told us to go unto all the world and preach the gospel. And by his grace, that's what we'll do. If he'll keep us, if he'll give us his message, we're so dependent on him in every way, shape, and form. But if he'll do it, that's what we'll do. He went on to say in verse 16, "Them also I must bring." And I am so glad for that. The longer I go in this, the more thankful I am for the fact that he's going to do it all. He's going to give the message. He's going to send the Spirit. He's going to call his own. Not one sheep is in my hands. I'm just the, helper. Just grab the seed and throw it. He's going to call every single one of his people. "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Only God's sheep can believe on him. Only God's sheep believe on him. If I believe on him, if you believe on him, if you see his death to be your only hope of life. When somebody says, "What is your hope of salvation?" If you don't say, "I was baptized back in 19 whatever." And if you don't say, "Well, I'm trying to be the best person I can possibly be." And if you don't say all those things, if the only thing you can say is, "The death and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is all my hope of salvation." That's it. That's all I have. If you see the work of the shepherd, what he did alone for the sheep to be your only hope of salvation, and if you desire the shepherd, if you need the shepherd, if you're begging for the shepherd to be your shepherd, if you are begging for the shepherd to be your shepherd, but you're wondering whether or not you're one of his sheep. I tell the brethren in Kingsport this all the time. I tell them this all the time because I believe this is a help to people, especially young people who grow up in the gospel. Because you don't have a point. I grew up under the gospel. My father preached the gospel and these men preached the gospel. And you don't have a point where you were in religion and the gospel came and boom, the light came on. You don't have that. I grew up with my dad telling me, "You're a totally depraved sinner. And all men and women are totally depraved sinners." And God chose who he would save. God elected a people to save. And he gave them to Christ. And Christ only died for those people. No one else. And God the Spirit is going to call every one of them. And they're all going to make it no matter what. That's what I was told, and that's what I believed. And I knew God elected a people. There was an election. What I didn't know for a long time is, was I a part of it? I tell people all the time, and I mean this, God either saved me and opened my eyes. It was some point between the ages of 7 and 27. I don't know exactly when. But here's the thing. The Spirit of God finally came to me at some point and spoke peace to my heart by notifying me of the fact that only God's sheep can believe. I used to say, I believe it. I mean, He's my all. I have nothing outside of Him. I just don't know if I belong to Him. Only God's sheep can cast their all, I mean all of it, and slay themselves on the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God's sheep can believe on Him. Only God's sheep are given the ability to look to Him completely, adding nothing to it, no work of the flesh to it. Only God's sheep can truly need Him. If I'm going to get there on my own works, I don't need Him. I may like Him and look up to Him, but I don't need Him as my only hope. Only God's sheep hopelessly, desperately have to have Him and Him alone. Only God's sheep hear His voice and follow Him. Believe Him and follow Him. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, they hear my voice. They hear my voice. How does He speak to His sheep? Through His Word. Through His Word. What does He say to His sheep? What does He say to His sheep? If we are His sheep and if He's speaking to us, we say that He speaks to His people. Is He speaking to us? He's speaking to His sheep and He's speaking to His people, but is He speaking to us? Is He really speaking to me? Well, what does He say to His people? This is how we can know if He's speaking to me. This is how I can know if He's speaking to me. And this is how you can know if He is actually personally talking to you. What does He say to His sheep? He says in His Word, you are all a bunch of sinners. That's what He says. He says, all flesh is grass. I think He's talking to me. He says, all nations are nothing before me. He says, in your flesh, you're nothing before me. I'm pretty sure He's talking to me. He says, you have never done anything right in your flesh. I think He's talking to me. He says, you don't deserve one kindness from me. I'm positive He's talking to me. And after hearing His voice from His Word, all of His sheep say, amen. Amen. I believe you. You're all sinners. All flesh is grass. You're worthless. You're helpless. You're in need of everything. Amen. That's right. I believe you. And then He says, I'm a holy God who judges sin. I'm a holy God who punishes sinners for their sin. And when God's people hear that in the Word, they cry, amen. Whatever you do with me, you're just in doing it. You're just and right and holy. I believe you. Amen. And then He says through His Word, fear not. Come unto me. I'm a God of mercy. I'm a God who delights to show mercy to sinners. That is one of the most enjoyable thoughts that I've ever thought of. We all have things that we enjoy doing. We all have hobbies. There are things that they're just enjoyable to us, and we enjoy doing them. Well, do you know what our Lord Jesus Christ enjoys to do? He said, I delight to show mercy. I love showing mercy. Mercy to sinners. And he says from his word, I've settled all of your debt. I've made all of your payment. I took care of all of your sins. And after hearing his voice from his word, all of his people cry, Amen. I believe you. I believe you. I think I'm going to stop working now. I think I'm going to rest from all my labors as he has rested from his. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Life forevermore. He said their death has been put away. That's what he accomplished on the cross. He put away the death of his people, the sin and the death. Verse 28, he went on to say, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I love that declaration. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. No man. What I love about that is it includes this man. If any man could pluck me out of his hand, if it could be done, it would be this man right here. But he said, no man. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father chose them. He put them in my hands, and then he put my hand in his hand. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. And he said in John 17 that his sheep are one with them. Us in him, him and his Father, one. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They didn't know him, did they? They didn't see him. They didn't believe him. They didn't follow him. Him being God made himself to be a man. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. How about us? Do we believe on him? Do we truly believe on him? Do we hear his voice in this word? Do we hear this word speaking of him, all of it about him? Do we need him? Do we need him? Do we follow him? If we do, we're his sheep. We are. We are. If we are his sheep, that's a good thing to be. There's nothing better to be in this life than a sheep of the shepherd. No greater blessing, no higher calling, no higher honor. A sheep of the shepherd. And it's because he said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wonderful news, isn't it? Let me close with a word of